taking, I'm very much blessed myself and my wife and daughter, right? Very much blessed right now. Yeah, personally, we are very much blessed to know about God's attributes. One of the Bible verses says, the expectation from God, right? Every man, means includes women, every man to be saved and know the knowledge of truth, to know, to have the knowledge of Him. So that would help us to see Him very close. We will never come to know about Him completely, but at least right pinch, when we come to know, we can focus on Him and we can please Him and we can do His will. We'll just have a word of prayer and then we'll start meditating the attribute that is fair, just and right. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to come to your presence. Yes, Father, faith comes by hearing, hearing your word, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for redeeming us and you called us your sons and daughters, Father. What a great privilege, Lord, to know about you, Father. Thank you, and I'm not worthy to speak about your characteristics, attributes, Father. Lord, you keep your words in me, Lord. You anoint me, keep your words in me, and you nourish your body, Father. Your body of Christ that you redeemed in the precious blood of Christ. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God is always, He's righteous and just. Just means it's a synonymous word for righteousness word. He's always fair and right. Whatever He does right, it will be with the righteous and as per whatever He pleases right, He's having every authority, every right to do it, but He will do as per the justice. We all know what happened on 2001, September 11 in New York City. Two tall standing towers, right, invaded by the another kingdom. So these are nothing but these two tall standing towers are nothing but twin towers. We all know what happened on September 11th, 2001. Normally these towers, right, it indicates the greatness and the glory of wherever we are living, right, this kingdom, this actually kingdom of United States. It shows the greatness, how this kingdom and how this country is. So similarly, right, God also having His own kingdom. We are part of that kingdom and He's also having two tall standing, I would like to call it as attributes, right, righteousness and justice. They go together. It's like husband and wife. They are inseparable, righteousness and justice. So we'll just have how God is having this fairness in dealing all these things, how He's just and right, that one by one, right, we'll meditate and glorify our Lord. Jeremiah 9:24, it says that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So our Lord, right, He exercises the loving kindness and judgment, including judgment and righteousness in this earth. And then Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The God's kingdom, right, we think differently, but it's full of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. We'll see how this kingdom looks like and how He governs this kingdom. Normally in the earthly governments, right, in the kingdoms, citizens, people, right, they elect the king, they elect the presidents. But in the heavenly kingdom, right, in the God's kingdom, nobody elects Him, nobody chooses Him, He Himself, till He dies. Our God, right, He's Alpha and Omega, and He's eternal. He's the beginning and ending. For Him, right, no death, He's eternal. So His kingdom, right, he will be the king forever and ever. And also he chooses the citizens, unlike earthly kingdoms, right? This is a complete contrast. So our king is eternal and he chooses the citizens. We are part of that kingdom and God has given us that citizenship. Not earthly citizenship, but we have the permanent eternal citizenship. That and all we will see how he is going to govern this kingdom. Okay, here we can see this is the throne room, how God writes his throne. Bible says his throne, right? Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Like here we are seeing all the 24 elders, how they're bowing to God, and then how they are kept away their crowns and worshiping. This is just, it is not the real picture. It's just the imaginary picture, just gives us the idea. So the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. He's exercising his righteousness, judgment, everything on this earth through this manner. God is sitting on his throne. He reigns over all his creation because there is nothing above him, which are the main principles of his government. Mainly righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. NLT version, beautifully it says, righteousness and justice, right? They are the foundations of his throne. Mercy and truth, they are like as attendants, it says, NLT version. So mercy and truth, right, along with the righteousness and justice, they go together, but mainly right, righteousness and justice, these two are the tall standing buildings of God's kingdom and God's government. The character of God is shown in his government. He wants his people to show the same character. Since we are the citizens of his kingdom, right, God expects the way how he acts justly, how he deals all the things, right, the operating model of God is completely with the righteousness and justice. The same thing, right, he's expecting from us also. How he is expecting and how he is going to help us also, that we will definitely meditate and worship him. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This is that God is expecting from us, and we will see whether we are fulfilling it or not. Psalms 89:14, just we read that one. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before you. God's righteousness is practically synonymous with his justice, and this involves serious implications for the unsaved. Yes, tomorrow, right, when he comes, the white throne judgment, of course, it is not for us because we do not have any condemnation, but this is for the unbelievers, whoever standing in front of the white throne, right? God knows, God is having he's having a complete knowledge of every individual because he knows, because we are all the created beings. So the verdict, right, it's going to be based on the truth, fully, whole truth and nothing but truth. His judgments will deal with the people's secrets as well as with their sins of commission and also omission. Commission means whatever God has ordained to do, right, that one. Omission means though we are knowing certain things, not doing those things, right? That is called omission. These are all Bible-based. His decisions will be based on perfect knowledge of everything and will be completely impartial. God is not partial God. And based upon everything, whatever the information he has, right, he will righteously judge. Psalms 119:137 says, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright your judgments. God is absolutely righteous. He always acts with fairness and equity. He invariably does what is right. Easy way to remember the righteousness, that is a synonymous word for the just, nothing but the first five letters, R-I-G-H-T, right. Righteousness means the definition of it's my understanding. Righteousness means it's a standard of good and bad that is established by God. So if it is established by God and if it says it is good, that is good. If it is wrong, it is wrong. I don't want to refer this example, but wanted to refer it. Just take LGBT. LGBT, right, according to this land, it's a law and it's acceptable here. But in the sight of God, right, absolutely that is not right. So we have to, all the laws, right, they should mirror the laws of the God. If it is not there, that's it. It's unrighteousness. Just example that one. Daniel from 9:7 verse, he speaks very beautifully, eloquently, says the righteousness of God. after Israelites, right? Daniel remembers, probably he may be 80 plus years age old, I believe. So whatever the belief, whatever the faith he is having, right, at the age, at his young age, in the chapter first, Daniel first chapter, right, same faith he is having, and he is remembering after studying, after referring the Jeremiah book, right, he is remembering after 70 years how Israelites, right, they were in a other foreign country. He is remembering and praying beautifully to God, who is righteous and justice, right. He is praying like this. Though the people, right, they are rebelled against God, though they are sinned against God, though they're not obeying the God's messages, right, still Daniel, on behalf of Israelites, right, he's praying. It's a Daniel's people instead of all the Israelites. Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face, as it is this day that the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. He's honestly right, Daniel, though he's in the old age, but remembering Lord's righteousness and whatever the condition they are in the right, he's praying to Lord in very eloquent way. And 9:14 says God's righteousness. Therefore, Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. He knows, Daniel knows the reason why they are in other foreign country, Babylon. So, but here, right, still he's working under Nebuchadnezzar right now. When he was praying, right, he was under Darius, King Darius. Still, right, he's remembering, he's praying to God, Lord, you are righteous, and his, your works, everything, whatever you do, right, all your works are righteous. Because as per the justice, right, he actually drove them out of Israel because of their disobedience, lack of obedience to God. And then, Lord, you are righteous and you have acted fairly and honorably. We have received exactly what Israelites deserve. This is a Daniel's prayer. And also in Isaiah 45:21 says, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it from the time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me, a just God and a savior. There is none besides me. I'm from a Hindu religion land where, right, we have 3 billion of gods, right? Whatever the deeds, whatever the things they're doing, right, they do in a very unrighteous way. But our God is not like that. There is no God like that. He is the just God, righteous God. Justice synonym for the righteous. The Lord is just God and a savior. No other God can compare him. No other. No one is like him. He's a unique God. Paul loved and dwelled in the righteousness of God. In Romans 3, for instance, he explains how the gospel plan of salvation solves divine dilemma. It tells how a righteous God can justify ungodly sinners and still be righteous in doing so. We all know Romans first three chapters, Romans 3 chapter especially, 3:23 says, all are sin and fall short of glory. All are sin, no one is righteousness. But Lord, right, still with his justice, right, the way how he came to this planet Earth and how he became substitutionary death for our sins, right? All, everything, right? The divine, the salvation plan and all, we can see in Romans 3 and Romans 6 chapter. The wages of sin is death, but we have the gift of salvation, that is eternal life in Christ Jesus Christ. He does not condone, means overlook sin or excuse it. He pays the full penalty of sin in the substitutionary death of our beloved Son. 85:10 Psalm says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Like how we are seeing the psalmist, right? He's anticipating, he's prophesizing. It's a prophetic one. So he's anticipating the Calvary, the work that is done, the substitutionary work, the redemptive work that is done on the Calvary, right? How the righteousness and peace both are converged on the cross, that he's anticipating and telling there how these mercy and truth have met together. And also righteousness and peace have kissed. Their peace could be offered through faith because the sin question had been handled righteously. At the cross, in a very special way, the attributes of God met together in a loving and joyful union. The truth of righteousness is designed to have a practical influence on our lives. He is just, fair, and impartial. We must be, that is expectation. One of the marks of Christians is the practicing of righteousness. The Bible says in 1 John 3:10, right? In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So though we are redeemed and though we are declared righteous, right, sometimes, not sometimes, most of the times, right, we continuously sin. So, but our God, right, he's a forgiving God and he's very faithful. He continues to forgive us our sins in a righteous way. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. He is righteous in all his dealings with us. Even if he afflicts us, he is righteous in doing it. It is an unspeakable blessing to know that our God is infinitely righteous. Okay, well and good. This is about the God's righteousness and justice. Now we are seeing, we'll take the case of Paul. Though he is very Orthodox Jew, but still, right, he perfectly follows all the 10 commandments and they have almost 600 plus commandments for the Jews. But he is very upright, he's very righteous by fulfilling the law. But law, right, it will never give you the solution to the sin. It just points out the sin. This is a sin like that. But it never gives the solution. It just points out this is the sin and the law, right, it gives the sin and death. Though Paul, right, Saul of Tarsus, he is following all the laws, law of commandments, the Moses law is perfectly, but still, right, he's telling that he's not perfect and he's the chiefest sinners. The reason is after he came to know on the way to Damascus, right, he saw the glory of God. Then he realized, after he had faith in Jesus, right, then he realized and he became righteousness. And as he is moving in his glory, right, one by one, he's coming to know all his sins. By seeing all those things, right, he's saying, I'm the chiefest sinners. Okay, how we can get the righteousness here? How we can act justly? Bible says in Micah 6:8, right, we have to act justly and love mercy and we have to humbly walk with the God. How we can act on our own? Can we act justly, righteous way? No way. So Bible says in Isaiah 61:10, what it says, right? He clothed me with the garments of salvation and he covered me with the robes of righteousness. Whatever the clothes we have, right? The robes that is not ours, Christ. We on the cross, when the righteousness justice kissed on the cross, right? He has imparted his righteousness to us. On our own works, on our own activities, right? We never achieve that righteousness. God imparted his righteousness into our account. Imparting means depositing of the righteousness in our account. So we made righteousness. Righteousness means declaring he's right, he's just. So that on our God alone, right, by sending his son on the propitiatory death, the redemptive work, right, he made us righteousness. So whenever God, tomorrow when he comes, right, when he comes, we look like him. When we see him face to face, not with our own clothes, the clothes, whatever the son he has given to us, right, the robes of righteousness. There is a beautiful parable in Matthew 22nd chapter. It's about the parable of the wedding feast. When the king calls for the feast, right, the invited people, they did not come. So he sends his army and calls all the people who were on the highway, right, he calls and them ask them to take part in that feast. When all the people comes, right, one person, he will not come with the garments of the wedding. Then the king asks, friend, where is your clothes and all? He says, since he do not have answer and he's also not having the garments of the wedding, right, he punishes. So same thing, God, he has given us his righteousness. And when he comes, right, we're supposed to be with that righteousness clothes. And even the revelation, right, there will be multitude of people standing in front of the God. They are the saints, they're out of the tribulation and they're all with the white robes, they're all washed in the blood of the Lamb. So there are application points if we take, right, when we open our own being to life of Jesus, right, we will come, you know, without him, right, we will never achieve the righteousness. So we have to, our own being, we will have to open to his life of Christ Jesus, how he lived, how he acted very justly when he was there 2000 years back when he walked on this planet at right, like the freaking treating adulterous woman in the righteous way, though he has every right to punish her. Everyone, right, they come up with a stone, but he alone is without sin. He has every right to punish her, but he did not punish her. He says, a woman, go and sin no more. So that is the God with the righteousness and with the full of mercy. our God is full of mercy and grace. Okay, so only what we have to do is by fulfilling all the law of Moses or law of commandments, right, we will never receive that righteousness. Only thing, right, by having Jesus in our hearts and by filled with the, when we have that faith, right, that alone, then only the righteousness will be credited to us. So application, we must always strive to have conscience that is void of offense towards God and others. These are all automatically when we see, when main, the thing is mind. When we keep our mind on the earthly things, right, that's it, we are out. When we keep our mind on Jesus Christ, right, always we'll go in the right way. So what we have to do is we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He alone can help us and lead us in the right way. So these are all whatever we are doing, right, like paying our taxes, or when we are here, we need to do all those things right. Yes, we're treating others, whether that guy is rich or poor, everything, right? Everybody, you have to act very justly. All those things, when we have our sight, when we fix our sight on Jesus, then only we can do it on our own, right? We cannot do it, and we will never be perfect. We will never be achieving the Christ righteousness. Only with his help, when we have him, then only we can do that. So all Micah 6:8, we have to very much remember, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to know mercy and to walk humbly with your Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added into it. Most of the times, right, we will be thinking about earthly things and all. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus and when we seek for his kingdom, right, automatically everything will be added unto us. And we sang the song, so the solid rock, right? No other ground, all grounds are sinking. Whatever the background you have, right? If it is not the ground that is with the solid rock, when we are not standing on a Jesus, we will never be doing that, and we will be definitely sinking. So the song, it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, means on our own, but wholly lean on Jesus' name alone. When he shall come with trumpet sound, ho, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Yes, when we have his robes of righteousness, we then alone we can see him and we can stand before him. All glory to our God, and may his name be glorified, and our good God will help us to act justly, love mercy, and humbly walk with our God.